Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this 4th of July. It's good to see all of you here. Please take note of all the announcements that are in your bulletin, at the back pages of your bulletin, and I do have just a few things to highlight. One is that on Tuesday, the women will be reorganizing their Bible studies, so if you are interested in being a part of the women's Bible studies, you are welcome to come to that meeting, and that is at 10 o'clock. In the educational building. Also, too, Vacation Bible School is back once again this summer. There are several announcements, a number of announcements in the bulletin concerning Vacation Bible School, so if you'll please read through that. One thing I would like to say is that Linda Herta will be, I think, out here under the tree this morning signing up people who would like to help make snacks for Vacation Bible School. So go see Linda after worship this morning. Also, too, one more time to highlight that the NALC convocation will be held in Corpus Christi this year, and we are in need of some volunteer helpers with that. There are information sheets in the narthex and also in the annex, and also then the sign-up sheets for that. But we do need some volunteers, and that is at that first week in August. Okay, are there other announcements? Any other announcements? Okay. Not then, I invite you to rise as we begin with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. We begin in the remembrance of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our opening hymn, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Great is the Lord, he is holy and just.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. God of glory and love, peace comes from you alone. Send us as peacemakers and witnesses to your kingdom, and fill our hearts with joy in your promises of salvation. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. A voice said to me, O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. And they and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that that there has been a prophet among them. The word of the Lord. We will read Psalm 123 responsively. To you I lift up my eyes, to you enthroned in the heavens, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maid to the hand of their mistress. So our eyes look to the Lord our God until he shows us his mercy. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy. For we have had more than enough of contempt. Too much of the scorn of the indolent rich and of the derision of the proud. The second lesson is from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 2 through 10. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows, and I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than that what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with my weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning actually is two different stories. They follow back to back, but they are two different stories. The first story is about Jesus going back to his own hometown, and the people there rejected him. They still saw him as the little boy who grew up in town, and they knew, they went to school with him, they had the same education, they went to the same place of worship with him, and now as he left and then comes back as an adult and has all these wonderful things to teach and to preach and to say and do, they reject him. They still remember him as the little kid who grew up there. But that rejection does not slow Jesus down. It doesn't stop him. It says here that even though the people there rejected him, there were still that few that did not, and they came to him for healing. He laid his hands upon them, and they were cured. And then that moves us into this next story, because even though Jesus was rejected in his own hometown, that was not going to stop his mission. That was not going to stop the reason why he was here and what his purpose in life was, which was to proclaim the kingdom of God and to save the world. Jesus continued on with his mission. As a matter of fact, it didn't slow him down, it didn't stop him. He actually expanded it, because here now he's starting to send out his disciples. Jesus has trained them well enough that it's time for them to experience some of the fun that he himself is having. To be able to go out and actually do the ministry. I'm sure they were itching to get out there and go do something. They've seen Jesus do it. They've seen the results that Jesus had. They were ready to go. And Jesus saw that they too were ready to go. And so he starts to send them out to do the ministry. To go out and proclaim the kingdom of God is near. For them to teach, but also then to cure, to heal, to bring words of comfort, to bring words of peace. Now, one of the key things that the disciples went out and did, or one of this whole key things of them going out and proclaiming the kingdom of God is near, is this line here in verse 12. So they went out and they proclaimed that all should repent. Repent is one of those words that we just don't use a whole lot in our normal everyday language unless we're kind of joking about it, because it sounds so Old Testament, it sounds so rigid, it's just one of those words that we just don't really pay a whole lot of attention to. And when we think of repent, we think of saying, oh, I'm sorry, but that's really not repentance. With repentance, there's a whole process to it. It's a very deep word, very deep process of what goes on with repentance. Repent actually means to turn around, to change directions, to make a U-turn, to go the opposite way that you had been traveling in the first place. To repent, turn around from where you're going. A Sunday school teacher asked his young students, what must one do to receive the forgiveness of sins? And one little boy in the Sunday school class answered the question, well, the first thing you got to do is sin. An obvious answer. Yes, to have forgiveness of sins, you do need to sin. Well, that's the easy part of this repentance process. Sinning is going in the wrong direction. We want to turn around and go back the other way. But it's close to the truth, because we have to recognize that we do sin. We recognize the sins that we have done. Now, on Sunday mornings, we begin our service with a confession. This morning, we have said, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. That is confessing our sins. And that's a part of repentance. It's recognizing that we ourselves are sinners, that we are sinners. But repentance goes even deeper than that. It's actually looking at the sins that we have done. If you find a quiet spot and you think about what you have done this day, of what sins have you committed, what would you come up with? A lot of people don't like to do that. We don't like to admit that we have made mistakes. We don't like to admit that we have done wrong. We don't like to say, I have sinned. I am in the wrong. And particularly with specific sins that we have done. We don't like to look at that. We'll come up with all sorts of excuses, all the way from the devil made me do it to if it feels good, it can't be sin, can it? Or it's not my fault, it's somebody else's fault. Or they're a worse sinner than I am. We come up with all sorts of excuses. We don't want to admit that we're wrong. We don't want to admit that we've sinned. We don't want to admit that we've made a bad choice in what we have done, the wrong choice in what we have done. We don't want to admit that we have gone against God. And so it's an important part of repentance to actually look and see, yes, I have. I have done wrong. One thing that can help us in going through this and figuring out what have I done wrong is to look at Luther's Small Catechism in the explanation of the Ten Commandments. Because in that explanation of the Ten Commandments, Martin Luther actually spells out, what's it mean not to kill? What's it mean not to commit adultery? What's it mean to honor your parents? What's it mean to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? That's in that explanation. But then also, too, in the explanation is positive reflections as well on those Ten Commandments of how I should keep the Ten Commandments. And so if you go through the Ten Commandments and Luther's explanation to those, and you think, did I do these things today? Did I not do those things today? It helps us to reflect on where our life is and how we measure up. And if we look at that, we don't measure up too well. Each and every one of us has sinned. And more than likely, we have broken every single one of those commandments every single day, if you look at that. And so it's important to recognize that we are sinners. It's important to recognize the sins that we have done, because that leads to the next point in repentance. What happens in repentance, of this process of repentance? Because when you see how much of a sinner you actually are, It brings that sinking feeling on. It brings on that guilt. It brings on the shame. Now, these are words that we don't like these days. We don't like guilt. We don't like shame. We don't like to be sunk down low. We don't like to be knocked down low. But it's only if we actually realize what we have done, of how we have gone against God. If we make it to that point where we do feel guilt, we do feel that shame, then we are ready to hear the words of Christ. Your sins are forgiven. That is when that is good news. That's when we hear that joy or feel that joy that comes with hearing that God is willing to accept us with all of our sins, with all of our troubles, with all of our problems, with all the warts that we have. And that's when we finally realize that grace of God. Your sins are forgiven. You are mine. God calls us his own children and is willing to claim us, to raise us back up. Also, too, when we feel that guilt, that remorse, that shame that comes from sinning, and we realize the grace of God that God is offering to us, it makes us want to turn around. And we finally get to the actual part of repentance, of turning around, changing our lives, making those changes that are important to our lives so we no longer have that temptation to sin, to improve what's going on in our life, to give us that confidence of faith that, yes, now I have the freedom. I have freedom in Christ to be a part, to be one of his followers, which leads us back to those disciples then. They had heard these words of Jesus. You are forgiven. Or your sins are forgiven. Your diseases are cured. Your demons are chased out. The disciples wanted to be a part of that. They wanted to be a part of that ministry. To go out and do the same. To proclaim that good news. And that message started with, repent. Change your ways. God's grace is here for us as well, too. It always amazes me that this story has hung around for this long. That these scripture passages have hung around for this long. Because they just simply get passed from generation to generation to generation. It's that Holy Spirit working with each group of people who are here at this particular time. Right now, it's our turn. We are the disciples of Jesus Christ. We are the ones here who are passing on that story once more. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Change your ways. Turn back to God. Listen to those words of Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. Your diseases are healed. Your demons are chased out. God's grace is here for us. And he calls us to come. Follow him. Be one of his disciples. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, In Christ There Is No East or West.
Thank you.
Please rise for the confession of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of the Church, the world, and one another. Gracious God, you commissioned Ezekiel to speak to your people, and your Son chose the 12 to spread the gospel. Bestow on your Spirit upon the church, so that it may speak words of warning and grace to all people. Grant that many are brought to repentance, faith, and redemption in Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Grant your all-sufficient grace to your persecuted servants. By their faithful witness, turn their enemies toward the cross of Christ, there to be forgiven and transformed. Bestow your favor and guidance upon your missionaries, especially those serving in dangerous places. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you for calling this congregation into fellowship with your Son. Give us the gifts of the Holy Spirit and make us disciples and heralds of your kingdom. Grant us courage to bodily share the good news. Give us kindness so that others may gladly hear it. Lord, in your mercy. You have given us this good land as our heritage. Make us always remember your generosity and constantly do your will. Save us from violence, discord, confusion, and every evil course of action. Give us what outward prosperity may be your will. But above all things, give us faith in you, that our nation may glorify your name and be a blessing to all peoples. Lord, in your mercy. Keep our military personnel and first responders in your care. Equip them to secure and further the blessings of peace, justice, and liberty. Help us to support and encourage their families until they are reunited. Heal all those whose lives have been shattered by the violence of war. Lord, in your mercy. St. Paul prayed that his thorn in the flesh might be removed. We pray for all who suffer and grieve. Heal and comfort them according to your will. Give them confidence in your grace, which is sufficient for their needs. We pray especially for Sue Bolting, Lynn Magura, Bill Baker, Howard Wisey, and Odell Rapke Jr. And we also thank you for all caregivers. Give them competence, kindness, and patience. Lord, in your mercy. Most Holy Father, we praise you for your never-failing mercy. We entrust that mercy to all departed loved ones. Wipe away the tears of all who grieve. Support us with your grace and heal us with your forgiving love. Lead us by your Spirit into the kingdom won for us by your Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. Hear and graciously answer our prayers, dear Lord, as it is best for us and most glorifies your holy name. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering of our lives. Nourish us with the life of your Son, that we might be his body in the world, making known your abundant mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift it to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come, for all is ready. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Closing hymn, My Country 'Tis of Thee. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And as we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.